of such a perfect system. The system was consciously created. Ants were brought into being by God, and the cutting mechanism and all their other features were given them by Him. That is stated in a verse from the Quran. My Lord encompasses all things in His knowledge, so will you not pay heed? Leafcutter ants' nests can be as much as 5 meters underground and 7 meters wide. They build hundreds of tunnels and chambers within the nest and dig and carry out some 40 tons of earth. The architecture of the nest is another miracle of its own. The ants do not eat the leaves they have cut off the trees because they feed only on a special kind of fungus. So what do the ants use those leaves for if they do not eat them? The answer is most interesting. They use them as the raw material for agriculture. They grow that fungus by means of that raw material. To that end, they set up hundreds of fungus farms inside the nest. You are now looking at one of those farms. The temperature, humidity, and size of the farms are all carefully regulated by the ants in order to grow the fungus, just like the greenhouses that we use to grow plants all year round. The worker ants hand the leaves they cut over to other ants that work in the farms. The ants which receive them disinfect the leaves before they start working. There is an important reason for this. The entrance into the nest of foreign fungus or even bacteria could cause terrible damage. That could mean an epidemic in a colony of some 500,000 ants. Yet God has created a very special system to protect them. A substance with antiseptic properties is secreted from the ants' bodies. The ant you are watching is disinfecting the surface of the leaf with its mouth. As a result of this process, no bacteria will be left on it. Just like us, ants also fight bacteria. Antibiotics are manufactured in laboratories for this purpose. Yet the antibiotic produced by the ants is much more powerful, and they have been using it for millions of years. Of course, these tiny creatures are unaware of bacteria and antibiotic substances that prevent bacteria from multiplying. Yet thanks to this perfect system that God has created, not one bacterium is to be found either on the ant's body nor in the nest it lives in. After finishing the disinfecting process, the ants then begin to cut the leaves up together. After cutting the leaves up into small pieces, it is then the turn of the very smallest ants to begin work. These ants are just 2 millimeters across, the size of a grain of sand. They spend their entire lives in these small underground chambers. They chew the leaves up into a pulp and spread it on the floor of the production area, making a bed of fertilizer upon which fungus is grown. Within 24 hours, the leaves have entirely lost their green color. By the next day, the surface is entirely covered with white fungus. The harvesting begins at once. The ants that perform the harvesting think of their colleagues, not themselves. They carry the fungus they cut off the harvesting chambers to the worker ants. Here, a harvester ant is offering the nutritious liquid it has obtained from the fungus to a worker ant employed elsewhere in the nest. By these methods, all the ants' food needs are met, from the leaf cutters outside the nest to those that chew the leaves into pulp. ...500,000 ants work continuously in the most perfect harmony and cooperation. After all the fungus have been harvested, only the remains of the leaves are left, and these need to be cleaned up. Workers carry out every little bit and leave the production chambers spotless. The leftovers are thrown away some distance from the nest. These hard-working creatures have no concept of rest or complaint. The colony also contains other ants with other duties. The defense of the nest is the duty of powerful, brave, and devoted soldier ants. The soldiers rush out, even at the sound of an approaching human footfall. Some giant soldiers are 300 times heavier than the other ants in the colony. They attack any intruder near the nest. They even bite the shoes and socks of anyone who approaches the nest. Once their jaws are in the flesh of any intruder, they never let go. They do not open their jaws even if other parts of their bodies are damaged, and they give up their own lives for the sake of the colony. There is no doubt that this is an example of great self-sacrifice. The leafcutter ants' worst enemies are wasps. Thanks to its powerful jaws, an ant can easily do battle with a wasp. Yet as their jaws are used to hold the leaf as they are carrying it, they are defenseless against a sudden attack at that moment. So how is an ant carrying a leaf protected? The answer to that question again reveals a tremendous cooperation in the colony. Let us have a closer look at the carrier ants. If you look carefully, you will see another worker ant on each leaf. These workers' job is to protect the carrier ants from a possible attack from the air. This small ant will form the first line of defense in the event of a wasp attack and stop the ant carrying it from falling prey to the bee. The small ant both uses a very clever defensive tactic and also endangers its own life for the ant carrying it. This is clearly an example of great cooperation. Ants organize themselves in a flawless manner. Yet they have no hierarchy among them, and no ant organizes the colony. Despite that, every ant miraculously knows what it has to do. The distribution of labor was set out before they were born, and ants performed their jobs to perfection. That does not just apply to leafcutter ants, but is to be seen in all species. These features that ants possess once again demonstrate the invalidity of Charles Darwin's theory of evolution. It is well known that the theory of evolution claims that all living things came about as a result of blind coincidences. No coincidence, however, could ever endow ants with the features of cooperation, self-sacrifice, discipline, and planning that they possess. No coincidence can make every one out of 500,000 ants work to a single end. The theory of evolution claims that living things need to be in a permanent state of struggle to the death to survive, and regards this as the fundamental mechanism of evolution. However, the theory of evolution can never account for how ant society, built on sacrifice and sharing, could have come about. The theory of evolution also maintains that living things acquired the characteristics they possess in stages, as a result of changes brought about by mutations. But that means that the social order exhibited by ants must have come about by stages, and that is impossible. That is because, as we have seen in this film, an ant colony is made up of ants with different functions. And if even one of those functions failed to be carried out, that would spell the end of the colony. Let us consider the leafcutter ants as an example. If the soldier ants did not defend the nest, if the workers did not cut the leaves, if highways were not built to carry those leaves, if giant walls were not built by a cooperative effort, if the leaves brought to the nest were not cleaned one by one, then none of the other jobs would serve any purpose, and the ants would be unable to grow their fungus. That would mean all the ants in the colony starving to death. The planned way in which the whole system has been set up can be understood more clearly if we look at it in greater detail. For instance, if there were no zinc coating on the blades of the ants that do the cutting, if they were unable to produce the antiseptic liquid to protect the colony from bacteria, if the temperature and humidity in the nest were not carefully regulated, and if all the ants did not behave in a totally disciplined fashion, the other characteristics possessed by the ants would again have no meaning, as they would all die shortly. That is because the colony can only survive if all these things exist together. That shows that ants could not have come by their attributes and stages. In other words, they could not have evolved. On the contrary, ants were created at a single moment together with the perfect structures and many other features that we have been watching. Another proof that ants were created with all their flawless characteristics emerges when we examine the fossil record. The 80 million year old fossil ant you are seeing is one of the oldest ant fossils in the world. The interesting thing about it is that it is no different from present day ants. This definitely proves that ants suddenly came into being with all their particular characteristics and have undergone no evolution, right down to the present day. In short, ants did not come about by evolution. God created their flawless bodies and the social systems they possess. Let us now think in the light of all the things we have seen in this film and ask a few questions. How did ants come by all the features they possess? Who set up the division of labor between them? How is it that every ant knows from the moment of its birth what job it has to do? Why are the soldier ants prepared to sacrifice their lives for the sake of the colony? How is it that creatures with no powers of reason can possess a more organized and social society than human beings do? How is it that 500,000 ants can act like a single brain for a common purpose? All these questions point us in the direction of one important truth. What these unreasoning creatures manage to do is clear evidence that God has created them and given them the features they possess. God's might and the art of His creation are to be seen in all living things. Ants are just one of the countless manifestations of God's art of creation in the world. In one verse, God says, "Everyone in the heavens and earth belongs to Him. All are submissive to Him.